Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM, MileHighSports.com, worldwide. If you're joining us on our website, if you're joining us on our app, thanks for sitting in. Eric Goodman, he's on assignment today, enjoying a vacation. I am joined today by my partner from DNVR on the DNVR Broncos podcast and all things Broncos beat covers, the one and only Zach Stevens. Zach,
Mace,
welcome.
Mace, what's up, my friend? Thanks for having me on today.
You're not sick of me. We did a podcast this morning. We did a live show, and now we're back here.
I'm ready for a little 2.0. You know, I've had my caffeine, afternoon caffeine, so I'm ready to go.
I had a little afternoon caffeine as well. And if you want to join the conversation, join us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. I'm at Mace Denver. Zach Stevens, your handle is at Zach Stevens, DNVR.
Boom. Nailed it.
You've clicked over into five digits in your follower count now, right?
I have, yes. Yes.
Keep on building that. They gotta get you a check mark though.
Yeah, that's
Where's the blue check mark for Zach, who's been on the Broncos beat now for going into his sixth season?
Yep.
Yes. Where's the blue check mark for Zach?
You know what? That's actually what I'm doing tonight, applying for that blue check mark.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes.
Okay. It should be a slam dunk. Zach's one of the best followers on Twitter if you're interested in anything Broncos. The thing that Zach does really well is he is on top of everything. Like, I think you've got notifications or whatever, but if something happens, he has it right away.
Twitter is my, and I really appreciate that, Mace. Twitter is my life, which is pretty pathetic, but you know what? It makes for a good follower, I like to think.
Hey, it does. And Twitter is kind of all of our lives. Sports is our lives. But pizza is the life of Marco's Pizza in Aurora. And Eric has told you a lot about it over the last few months. Fresh ingredients. Sauces are freshly made. Dough is freshly made. Hand chopped meats and vegetables. Always fresh, never frozen. And Eric's a Chicago guy. I've had great pizza all over in my life. Marco's Pizza, though, it's terrific and it's affordable. They've always got great specials. So next time you want pizza, go to Marco's Pizza with two locations in Aurora. And of course, if you're listening worldwide or around the country, there may be a Marco's in your neighborhood. My parents went to Marco's Pizza. They were talking about that recently down in Florida because they got locations there. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
All right, Von Miller, we heard from him over the weekend. Of course, he was at the All-Star Game Celebrity Softball Contest that took place on Sunday. Actually comes on TV tonight, if you want to catch it. It's always shot on Sunday and airs after the Home Run Derby tonight. But Von talked with Mike Kliss of 9 News and said he wants to play 5 to 7 more years in the NFL. We should think about it. It would take 5 to 7 more years, so this is year 11. You just do the math on that for Von Miller. That takes him up to year 15 to 17, advancing into his 30s. He said to Mike Kliss, quote, "I've got a son. He'll be here in about 3 or 4 weeks. I definitely want him to be able to see me play. That's going to take about 5 to 7 years. That's what I have on my heart. That's what I have on my mind. Another 5 to 7 years, whatever God will give me, I'm going to take it." Zach, he wants to be back. But should he be back?
What price? I mean, that's the question that it depends on. Because, I mean, if you're going to say you can extend Von Miller right now for 7 years, $7 million, I think everyone's doing it. Of course.
Cheap.
But, yes.
5 to 7 years, $5 to $7 million a year.
Or just even $1 million. I mean, So it comes down to the price. And, Mace, we know that the price for Von Miller is going to be high because Von Miller's not going to give hometown discounts initially. We know that. We saw it back in 2016 after the Super Bowl, where he got the massive contract, largest defensive contract in NFL history, and that was the same way 2 years down the road. It wasn't broken for 2 years, which just shows how big it was. And then last year, this offseason, Mace, the Broncos asked Vaughn to take a pay cut or a little restructure, and he said no. And the Broncos said, fine, well, we still want you. That's not going to change, in my opinion, unless this team is very competitive. So should Von Miller be back? Yes, but at the right price. I think that brings in a whole new conversation, because we're talking about a guy who's making $20 million this year. He's not going to take a pay cut to making under $10 million. So it's all about the price.
You mentioned on the DNVR Broncos podcast this morning, you mentioned the J.J. Watt contract, which effectively could be worth $28 million for the next 2 years. There's three voidable years on the end of it, the way it's structured, but it's worth up to $28 million. Now, kind of the interesting thing about it, the signing bonus is $12 million. The guaranteed salary is $8 million. So it's a $20 million guarantee. Now, Vaughn has done a lot more in the last 5 years than J.J. Watt has. But is this in any way a template for the kind of deal that you might be talking about with Vaughn?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think realistically, Vaughn can't be expecting a 5-year extension right now. Even though he wants to play 5 to 7 years, he has to understand what's happened the past 2 years, Mace. He had a 14.5 sack season in 2018. Then since, in the Vic Fangio defense, which was supposed to be great for pass rushers, him and Bradley Chubb, we haven't seen it. He had 8 sacks 2 years ago. Last year, of course, missed with injury. So he can't expect for someone to sign him up for 5 years when they haven't seen really anything, any great play from him since 2018. So I think we are thinking, if we're talking about an extension, we're talking about 2 to 3 year extension. And that $28 million, that seems like a sweet spot right there. I think it's something the Broncos can get behind. And like I said, Vaughn's not taking under $10 million. This is still a good payday for him. Mace, I'm just concerned that this would be too much of a pay cut for Vaughn. I think he may look at this and say, I'm Von Miller. Are you kidding me? And the Broncos would say, yeah, he's J.J. Watt. He just took $14 million a year. And he'd say, I'm better than J.J. And he would point to exactly what you said about that 5-year stretch.
Right. And he's playing, of course, on the last year of a 6-year contract, signed in 2016. Von Miller, over the length of that contract, will have averaged $19.083 million.
Some good money.
It's some very good money. But no pass rusher going into his 30s, as Von is. I mean, Von is in his age 32 year this year. I mean, it's really kind of staggering to think that about that with Von Miller. You kind of don't regard him as an old player, but he's reaching that point where A, he's an older pass rusher, and B, another thing comes into play is we talked about Julius Peppers a little bit this morning, but there aren't many pass rushers who are really productive once they get past the age of 32. Even DeMarcus Ware had a decline in production and availability because of injuries as he got into his 30s as well.
And Mace, didn't DeMarcus Ware play to 34? And Vaughn's talking about playing almost till he's 40 years old. And DeMarcus is a guy that Vaughn really looks up to. So while he wants to play that long, at what point does Vaughn say, it's just not worth it? Instead of having his kid see him play, maybe he says, I'd rather just spend time with my son in a couple of years from now. But it all comes down to the price. And Mace, I think it also comes down to that hometown discount.
Right.
Because George Payton wasn't going to come in here this year and make Von Miller expendable. And that was going to be his first major move, was moving on from Von Miller. That would have been hard to wrap your head around for a Broncos fan. For George Payton, that would have been hard to get Broncos country around him by doing that. So he didn't do it. But after 1 year, he could make that decision and just say, you know what, Von, we've had a great time. You've had a great run here. We'll let you walk right now. If Von is saying, I need to be $20-plus million a year.
Yeah, it was really only an issue when Von had the allegations that were around him with you had Parker Police Department investigating an allegation of domestic assault that ended up going away. That didn't transpire into anything. So the record is clean. There's not that issue anymore. That certainly I think helps Von Miller's viability. But the other thing you look at is how few players have been productive. And we talked about Julius Peppers this morning. We're going to come back to him right now because that's one of the few guys who had a really elegant transition into his early to mid 30s as a pass rusher and somebody who basically became a pass rush specialist. And as he got to Green Bay and then eventually back to Carolina at the end of his career, had salaries that reflected that. Now, the end result for Julius Peppers was he played 17 years in the NFL, and he was able to put himself in the top four all time in terms of official sacks with the stat going back to 1982. Could Vaughn do this? Is he willing to kind of evolve into a situational specialist?
Why would he not? I mean, he could get told, okay, we're going to pay you still a lot of money. You're going to have to take a little bit of a pay cut, but then you just get to rush the passer. Mm-hmm. That seems like a pass rusher's dream, not having to do the first and second down BS and just get to be on the field for third down. And when we talked to him a couple of years ago, Mace, I believe it was before the 2019 season, and asked him if he feels like the age is catching up with him, he said, no, age is not catching up. When you will know age is catching up to me is when I turn into that situational pass rusher, which showed me there that he's willing to do that. And that's going to come at a pay cut. But boy, would that be great for the Broncos to make him a Bronco for life and have him take a big pay cut, but then also have him be dominant on third down.
Peppers, when he signed with the Packers, by the way, he signed in 2014, which was his 13th season. Next year, it's Vaughn's 12th. Pep signed for a deal that was 3 years, $26 million. But that was 2014.
Right.
What's the equivalent kind of deal in 2022 that might be acceptable for all parties?
Boy, I mean, a similar deal in today's terms, you probably double that. So you're talking, you know, almost $18 million a year, which is huge for Von Miller. I don't think you do that, especially right now. Now, maybe in December you do that after he has 15 sacks coming into, you know, week 14 or something. You say, holy cow, Von is at the level that he's at. He's elite right now. Maybe you feel comfortable doing that. But going into this year, having not seen him play in a game coming off injury, you can't do it.
Put a percentage on it. What percentage chance is there of Vaughn being back with Denver in 2022?
50-50.
Ooh!
50-50. Literally a coin flip, and it comes down to me, Mace. It comes down to what the Broncos do this year. What's their quarterback situation look like? If it's good, I think he's willing to take a little bit of a discount. If their record's good, he's willing to take a little bit of discount. If it's the same as it's been, Mace, I think he's going to go elsewhere.
You couldn't be more right about that, Zach. Coming on on the other side, speaking of the quarterback position, a Hall of Famer has some interesting things to say about how Drew Lock looks after he did a dive in the tape. Who is that Hall of Famer? What did he say? What does that reveal about Drew Lock? We'll get into it on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Eric Goodman on assignment. Zach Stevens in for Eric Goodman. Watch us on MileHighSports.com. Listen to Mile High Sports 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Taking that time. Possibly the greatest song that ever mentions the city of Wichita in the lyrics. It's either this or... it's a generational thing. Wichita Lineman by Glenn Campbell, generational thing, or if you like country music, that's what you're choosing. I'm going with Seven Nation Army.
Oh, my God. You can't beat them. I mean, Mace, this was, you know, one of my favorite songs, what, seventh grade?
Wow, that makes me feel old, because this was one of my favorite songs when I was like, because this was like about 03, 04.
Okay. Yeah. I trust your memory.
Yeah, this is like when I was 26, 27 or so.
Checks out.
Yeah. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. You don't hear Eric Goodman's voice. He's on assignment, enjoying a meticulously planned vacation by his fiance. Like, things were planned out to like the half hour on this schedule.
How about that? It was impressive.
Maximizing the fun, but he's going to be back in this chair tomorrow. I'm Andrew Mason, joined by Zach Stevens, filling in. He, of course, is my fellow Bronco beat writer and podcaster over at DNVR, thednvr.com. You've got a series that you've been working on previewing the season. Tell us about it,
Zach. Yeah, just looking at projections of what these new guys should do. The rookies, also guys coming in from free agency. Mm-hmm. Wrapping it up this week with looking at the two biggest moves the Broncos made financially, looking at Ronald Darby, what he's going to do this year. And then in the draft, looking at what Patrick Surtain should do this year, because we know, Mace, we're not being fooled. Mm-hmm. He's not the fourth cornerback on this team.
But who is? And that's the question, because you just mentioned Ronald Darby. If everybody's healthy, who is the guy who's going to be the number four corner, who basically is going to be seeing about 20% of the snaps at that point?
You'd probably say Ronald Darby, but wow, he's the guy that has the biggest contract here, not just in terms of his $10 million he's getting this year, but he has the two-year $20 million in guaranteed and 3 years $30 million contract.
It's clear to me that when they made their free agent planning, they did not expect Kyle Fuller to be available.
Yep.
I think that's the thing that kind of jumps out, that if they knew Fuller was going to be on the market, I don't think that Ronald Darby is here.
No, I don't think so either. And I was actually surprised they went out and got him, because George Payton's a guy that likes to sit back, not make any rash decisions. And maybe it wasn't a rash decision, but what if he did sit back and Ronald Darby went to another team and then Kyle Fuller opens up? Then also Patrick Surtain, that takes a lot of pressure off George Payton for picking Surtain over a quarterback in Justin Fields.
Yeah, man. It's fascinating. We know they have an embarrassment of riches this year, cornerback. But we also know that Bryce Callahan is injury prone. Wouldn't it be hilarious if this is the 1 year where Callahan stays healthy? The year where you actually have the depth to withstand an injury, and he plays all 16 games for the first time in his career.
Same with Ronald Darby. It'll just be the second time he's played all 16 games. But yeah, that would be something.
Yeah. If you want to join the conversation with us, hit us up on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. For wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. He's at Zach Stevens, DNVR, and that is Z-A-C, not Z-A-C-H. It's not Zach, it's Zach. Z-A-C, Stevens, S-T-E-V-E-N-S, DNVR. I, of course, am at Mace Denver. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service, and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to MightyPH.com.
Recently heard from Kurt Warner, of course, a Hall of Fame quarterback, and a great story. His life story is becoming a film, by the way, out later this year. Of course, going from bagging groceries at a Hy-Vee in Cedar Falls, Iowa, to the St. Louis Rams, the Super Bowl, the Giants, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Hall of Fame. But Kurt does a series of film evaluations that he posts on YouTube, and recently he took a look at Drew Lock, and here is what Kurt concluded about the Broncos' third-year quarterback.
Here's a guy that has made some big plays, shows, you know, that ability to make those second-level throws, so you fall in love with guys like that. You fall in love with the big arm guys and the guys that show you, man, we can make a wild throw. But it's the lack of consistency and awareness outside of those throws that has really caused him to struggle and has really bogged down this offense. That's what he's got to clean up this year. Technique has to clean up. Don't worry about the big arm. Win with technique. Win with understanding. Win with awareness. If the Denver Broncos are going to make some noise, because a lot of people believe roster-wise, skill-wise, they've got some players to be able to make a push. But as we know in this league, none of that matters if you don't have a guy behind center that can pull the trigger and be consistent and consistently make plays for you. That's going to be the key. Drew Lock, I believe, is going to be the key to that. He can't win the job. We know what Teddy Bridgewater can do. I believe he can win some games for this Broncos team if Drew Lock can't take the steps needed to become that franchise guy.
Bridgewater, we know what he is. Mm-hmm. We all know what who and what Teddy is.
Steady Teddy, baby.
Steady Teddy is not gonna beat you, but doesn't necessarily have the powerful arm that's going to change things a lot. A few things that Kurt said in there that I want to get into. First of all, he talks about Drew and said, you know, he says, "Hey, you fall in love with the big arm guys," and we know John Elway loves a big arm quarterback. Okay, Brock Osweiler,
yep,
he had a big arm.
He was tall too.
Yeah, he was tall. And Paxton Lynch, big arm and tall.
Yeah.
Drew Lock, not as tall as those guys, but big arm, arm talent. But then Kurt Warner speaks of
he's a tall man with a big arm.
Exactly. There we go. That's better than just the he's tall Paxton Lynch sound bite.
So. I mean, it hit exactly what you're talking about. Tall, big arm.
Tall, big arm. It's almost no wonder Vance Joseph got the job.
Yeah, thanks,
if he
Vance,
was talking right. like that about the quarterbacks, he was speaking yeah. John Elway's language. But Kurt Warner says it's the lack of consistency and awareness outside of the wow throws that has caused him to struggle. So, Zach, can you develop consistency and awareness? Or is that something you have to have?
That's a great, great question. And Mace, the way that you could develop it with Drew Lock, not saying it will develop, but it's something that we've talked about, and it is breaking the game down for Drew. Instead of having him in shotgun and just seeing the entire field and having to go 1 through 5 on his reads, you got to make it easy for him, and you got to put him in motion, whether it's off play action, whether it's just motion from the snap, and break the field down for him. So he's only looking at 1/3 of the field, so he only has 1 or 2 reads. And then if he can do that successfully, then break it to half the field where he's only looking at half the field. Now, this you can only do this for a short period of time because defenses will just absolutely destroy you and shut down that 1/3, 1/2. But that's a way to try to get someone to develop in their awareness and their ability to read defenses. But it's got to go really quick because if you're doing this over a couple of years, you're going to be hosed because defensive coordinators are just going to absolutely feast off that.
Yeah. What's the ceiling for him short and long term if he can do things well when you cut down the field, like you mentioned, get down to 1/3, 1/2, get it from five possible targets down to 2 or 3. What's the ceiling this year and what's the ceiling long term if that's all he can get to?
Well, and I think we even cut it down not just this year. It's a hot start this year where the first quarter of the season, Broncos are 4-0. Broncos are at least 3-1 because the defense is playing well, the offense is clicking. But then you see defenses pick up on it. So I think by the end of the year, a lot of people would be saying, but look what he did in the first half of the season. Look what he did in the first 4 games of the season. And then people would also counter and say, look what he did the second half of the season. Very underwhelming. And then so obviously next year and moving forward in 2022 and beyond, it'd be pretty obvious that ceiling is too limited to be a starter in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's funny, you kind of mentioned get off the fast start, of course. The schedule provides for a great opportunity for that. Giants, Jaguars, Jets. Then you get the Ravens in week 4. And the Ravens, of course, last year were 6th in the league in pass defense. Mm-hmm. So it very much kind of sets up to where if he's the starter early, if he can't advance beyond what we've seen, if they do the things that they did down the stretch last year schematically, more play action, more under center, more getting him outside of the pocket and getting that field of vision down from sideline to sideline to just say outside the numbers or just 1/2 of the field. That'll probably work in the first 3 games, but then what happens when you take on Baltimore, who had the 6th best pass defense? What happens against Pittsburgh, who had the 3rd best pass defense? Yeah, they don't have Bud Dupree back, but they still got very good corners, and they have Minka Fitzpatrick back there at safety. It's possible that if they focus on the things that he does well, but he can't expand beyond that, that the reckoning comes in October.
Right, exactly. And Mace, we saw the stat over the weekend. Aaron Rodgers was the only person last year better on play action than Drew Lock in terms of like incompletions, in terms of passer rating. I believe Drew was over 112. But not on play action. Aaron Rodgers was obviously still up there, number one in the NFL. Drew fell all the way to 35th, not even considered a starter by those numbers. He doesn't have to bring that into the top 5 in the NFL on non-play action passer rating. If he can bring that to average, and then he's still great on the move and play action, and then he's average just other times, now you're talking about a winning football team. Now you're talking about Drew Lock. There's true hope that he can continue to take steps next year and in years forward to where he can be in the top 10.
That's interesting to kind of talk about the play action because obviously most play action's under center. And I remember Drew Lock coming out of Mizzou, a critique was, okay, he hasn't done all that much under center because most of the time at Mizzou, it was spread in what, particularly what Josh Heupel was doing. Now, Derek Dooley put some more pro-style concepts in there for his senior season, but still, it led to some struggles early. Like the first half of his senior season, he was pedestrian. Didn't really turn it on until the end. So Drew has actually turned something that was a potential weak point into a strength but the rest of it hasn't come just yet.
Right, and that has to. There's no more waiting, Mace. Last year, it was the year of finding out what Drew Locke was. Mm-hmm. Now it's, okay, now we got a competition. He has to show it this year if he wants to be the guy moving forward.
Another soundbite from Kurt Warner in that interview was where he said, quote, "Don't worry about the big arm. Win with technique, win with understanding, win with awareness," unquote. Can Drew win that way?
He's going to have to be sustainable. He's going to have to.
That's a very diplomatic answer.
He's going to have to. And because Mace, the most important thing for a quarterback is the mental game. And that's exactly what Kurt Warner is talking about, is the physical tools don't matter if you don't have it upstairs. And we've seen where Drew can have games where he has 4 touchdowns, no interceptions against the Panthers. The end of that season, though, it was fine, but it wasn't great. I mean, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions in his last, in the other 3 games to end the season.
So and the Buffalo game was bad.
Right. Exactly. From what we've seen so far, Mace, the consistency hasn't been there. He's been adequate to good in half his games. Mm-hmm. That you got to be good to great in 90% of your games if you want to be a legitimate franchise quarterback.
Real quick, do you have an indication based on, you saw OTAs, you were at all of them, I was at all of them. Do we know whether he can win with technique, understanding, and awareness after OTAs? Do we know that he can't do that, or is it just wait and see?
It's better. It's better. Through OTAs, it's better. Is it there yet? No, especially when compared to a guy like Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep. Speaking of quarterbacks, we just talked about Drew Locke. Next, we're going to touch on Aaron Rodgers, because that isn't going away. He had some comments this weekend when he was out at the American Century Golf Tournament in Reno. Well, not in Reno. It's actually in Lake Tahoe, right there on the border between Nevada and California. We're going to get into that on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Zach Stevens from thedmvr.com sitting in for Eric today. I'm Andrew Mason. MileHighSports.com. MileHigh Sports 98.1 FM. 107.5 HD3 FM.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Eric Goodman on assignment. Andrew Mason sitting here in the MileHighSports.com studio here in the beautiful Denver Tech Center. Joined today by Zach Stevens of thednvr.com. You can find him on Twitter at ZachStevensDNVR. Have you ever done, I mean, you do podcasts, obviously, 5 days a week over at DNVR, and I'm on there with you. Have you done a radio show sitting in like this, or is it just all podcasts?
I've never done a full one, okay. Mace. I've done so many radio hits, but all through the phone or, short little segments in person. So it's an honor, Mace.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I appreciate you coming in and filling in. If you want to join us on Twitter, at Zach Stevens DNVR, no H, and it's Stevens, not Stephens, but Stevens. So Zach Stevens DNVR on Twitter. I'm at Mace Denver. Of course, Twitter feed's brought to you by Rocky Mountain Forest Products with wholesale lumber to the public. Go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
It's time now. Speaking of Rocky Mountain Forest Products, it's time now for the Rocky Mountain Forest Products shout-out question with our guys Ty, Cal, Caden, Evan from the Just Us Guys podcast, and it's about Aaron Rodgers. Of course, Aaron Rodgers spoke this weekend, not as cryptic as he has been, but very kind of non-committal, talking about, hey, going to wait a couple of weeks and see what happens, and keep working out. Of course, he played in the golf tournament this weekend. So, Zach, in your opinion, have the chances of Aaron Rodgers becoming a Bronco increased, decreased, or stayed the same since May?
They've increased, Mace. They've increased. And up until last week, really Monday, we have heard from Aaron Rodgers once this offseason. Last week, we hear from him 3 or 4 times. And one of the things he said that I think you just mentioned that really, to me, jumps out is non-committal. What franchise quarterback is non-committal about their commitment to the game, about their commitment to the team that they play for? None. When it gets to that point and he is being non-committal, Mace, that is massive red flags to me. That's why I think that the odds increase of him going to a different team, and I think the number one team that if he's traded, the Broncos are absolutely clear and by far that number one team.
Yeah, and the other thing that kind of comes into play and why I think they've increased and why I don't think this weekend and those comments decrease them in any way is because, like you said, what franchise quarterback does that 2 weeks before camp? And it was a chance for him to kind of reaffirm things. Hasn't. And all the other thing is, I have not heard any indication from people that are at least somewhat in the know on Aaron Rodgers that his perspective has changed in any way. Guys, what do you think? Now, when you saw that clip from this weekend from the American Century Tournament, and what was your first reaction when you heard that comment?
He seems just content with life right now, and content in a way where I wouldn't be shocked if he tells the Green Bay Packers, I'm not showing up, trade me, and they say no, and he says, fine, I'm done. I'm done with football, for now at least. Or at least that's a threat that he makes. He just seems like he is so content with his life right now, and Mace, his life right now does not involve the Green Bay Packers, and it hasn't since the game against Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, and he just seems happy with it. So I don't think he's done with football, but I think he's clearly done with the Packers.
I think he is as well, and I think this is something where it's a question of when Green Bay blinks if they decide to move him. How stubborn are they going to be? And that may be something where Jordan Love and his progress determines that. Because if you're the Broncos, you kind of want Jordan Love to not do well. If you want the pot of gold at the end of this team building process for 2021 to be Aaron Rodgers, then you want them to feel like, oh my gosh, we need to make a move and make sure we're short up at quarterback. If Jordan Love does well in training camp and assuages Packer fans' fears about life without Aaron Rodgers, it becomes a lot easier for them to say, okay, we're good with Jordan Love and Blake Bortles backing him up. We can just sit here and wait. So you're actually, if you're the Broncos, you're probably rooting for Jordan Love to fall on his face a little bit.
Oh, you'd not do well.
Yeah.
But then what if Jordan Love does well and proves to the Packers that you don't need this guy, Aaron Rodgers? In fact, give me Cortland Sutton, give me Bradley Chubb, give me Jerry Jeudy, and give me three first-round picks.
That's a good point. Now, the only thing is, though, one of the things that could kind of spur a deal is saying, okay, we need a quarterback to get us through this year. Jordan Love's not ready.
Right.
And Blake Bortles isn't that guy. And that's where, if you made a trade, Teddy Bridgewater would come into play. Drew Lock could, because we know the Packers liked him back in 2019, but there's also 2 years of film that may have changed their perspective on Drew.
Yeah, it depends. How do they view Jordan Love? Does he still need another year? From early reports this offseason, yes, he does. Well, mm-hmm. We know Teddy Bridgewater's a guy that can get you through 1 year. Is he a guy that you want to sign to a 4-year, $100 million contract? No, not really. So he could be a perfect 1-year bridge for Jordan Love. What if they think, okay, he just needs someone to compete with him? Drew Lock could be perfect. And you know what? If the Broncos are getting Aaron Rodgers, they don't care. They can have both of them. Send Blake Bortles back to back up Aaron Rodgers.
Who is the Broncos quarterback by early November?
Early November, because of what we just said, Mace, I think it's 50-50 right now if Aaron Rodgers is a Denver Bronco. And I'll give the nod to Aaron Rodgers being a Bronco. And just because of how content he's not going to go back to Green Bay unless, you know, the way he's showing up at training camp is with just a massive deal with maybe even a contingency in place where he says, you trade me after this season. But for right now, I'll say that it's Aaron Rodgers.
We're all just foraging for breadcrumbs on Aaron Rodgers, aren't we? I mean, I'm thinking back to how back in May we dissected that ESPN interview with Kenny Mayne to within an inch of its life, how it came up that, oh my goodness, Aaron Rodgers renewed his membership at the Green Bay Country Club, whereas literally that would have been the equivalent of you and I paying for Netflix for the year.
Yep.
It's probably an auto-renew.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Country Club for Aaron Rodgers is definitely auto renew.
Although, yeah, I should look into the Green Bay Country Club.
See about their auto renew?
Yeah.
I guess, see if you're getting in there?
Well, also to see, like, okay, is it really any good, or do you just kind of do it as a PR thing that you're a member of the Green Bay Country Club because you play for the Packers?
I'll tell you what. Aaron said he had only played 8 rounds of golf in the past year before this weekend. I don't believe that. He was looking really good on the course.
Yeah, and of course, some people believe he played one of those rounds with John Elway.
It's very true. A couple of months ago.
That's the rumblings that we heard. And of course, it was, let's make it clear, it was denied by the Broncos.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Because that would be potential tampering. But it's one of those things that's out there. We're just, again, foraging for breadcrumbs on Aaron Rodgers. And frankly, I think this is going to continue for at least another few weeks. Danny, what do you have for us, in just in case you missed it?
For some reason, the MLB thought it was a good idea to have the first round of their draft going up against an NBA Finals game. We'll talk a little bit about the MLB draft, since most people might not have known that it was actually going on. Also, we'll talk about the NBA Finals and a nice little thing they've got going in Milwaukee, and something else we saw in Toronto a couple years ago. That's coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Mason and Stevens.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Eric Goodman on assignment. He'll be back in this chair tomorrow. I'm Andrew Mason. Filling in for Eric today, of course, is Zach Stevens from thednvr.com, Broncos beat writer and podcaster extraordinaire. I don't use that term lightly, Zach.
Oh, thank you, Mace. You are
one of the best voices on the Broncos in this town, and I think people should know that.
Oh, my man. I really appreciate it, Mace. It's awesome rolling with you every single day, and especially today, this afternoon. It's awesome to do this.
Like I said earlier, the fact that you're here with me after spending an hour and 40 minutes on the air for a live podcast this morning down at the DMVR studios right off Colfax at the DMVR bar. The fact that you're willing to do this is actually a confidence boost for me personally.
Oh, like, I love doing the pod with you every day. Now we get to do some radio. I love it.
Hey, time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, in the first round of the MLB draft yesterday, the Rockies, with their number one pick, eighth overall pick, took Benny Montgomery of Redland High School in Pennsylvania, a high school senior outfielder, and maybe a little bit of a head scratcher there is Kumar Rocker of Vanderbilt, a pitcher who we saw in the College World Series just a couple weeks ago, was still on the board. Any surprise here with the Rockies going with a high school senior outfielder over a pitcher with some college experience here in the first round of the MLB draft?
Yeah, once Kumar Rocker out of Vanderbilt, once he started dropping, and of course his father's a former NFL player, former NFL defensive lineman, you start thinking, okay, power pitcher, somebody who's, he needs a little bit of work, and I think there was some concern about a dip in his velocity that took place this year, but still you start thinking he would make a lot of sense for the Rockies, especially coming from Vanderbilt high level. This is somebody who you figured could be ready to be in the rotation within probably within a year and a half, probably by the start of the 2023 season, and that they passed on him. Again, Montgomery, he's a high school player, big bat. I know that there's a little bit of concern about his strikeout rate. There's time to work with that, but still, Rocker seems really hard to pass up. A big power picture.
Maybe they were trying to get him in the home run derby tonight, Montgomery. Just, you know, bring him into Coors Field the day after he's drafted and have him swing with the guys tonight.
Yeah. And Montgomery, realistically, is probably going to be about 4 or 5 years off.
It's tough, Mace, to think about passing on a pitcher that could have a bigger impact sooner, especially when you're seeing Germán Márquez do absolutely fantastic here. The Rockies have to get pitching to win, and they're moving away from that.
They have to get pitching to win, and you know what? They've actually been winning lately, and they won the series this weekend on the road in San Diego, and the reason why they took 2 out of 3 was terrific starts.
Yep.
It's happening night after night. It's funny that the Rockies finally have a quality rotation, mostly a homegrown rotation, and yet the team is still struggling because the lineup is so inconsistent going from home to road.
And they're actually pitching well at home.
Yeah. The splits are better at home than on the road. Who knew?
It would not be surprising if you missed the MLB draft yesterday because it was Game 3 of the NBA Finals. And last night and throughout the playoffs, we've seen on the broadcast a lot of shots of fans outside Fiserv Forum in what they call the Deer District up there in Milwaukee. We saw that a couple years ago also with the Toronto Raptors when they made their title run at Jurassic Park, which is a far better name if you ask me. But if the Nuggets or Avalanche were to do something like this outside of Ball Arena where fans could kind of congregate and watch the game outside, maybe they build up some businesses in the surrounding area as well. What would you call that area where Nuggets fans congregated to watch the Denver team go at it?
Well, if it were Nuggets, it'd be after something with mining, right? Like the mine shaft.
Oh, okay. I like it.
I'm borrowing an old name that was used for at UNC Charlotte because they're nicknamed the 49ers and their mascot's a miner.
Yep.
So that was what their gym used to be called. So ripping it off, but... what do you do for the Avs? I guess it's...
I think for either, you got to do something. I mean, you did the minors. You got to do something with the Rocky Mountains or 14ers or Mile High. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could just call it the Mile High Club.
Not bad.
Just in case you missed it, a video came out on Twitter this morning of Lamar Jackson playing some defensive back and wide receiver, but not on grass or turf. He was on an asphalt basketball court, and this raised some concerns with some fans in Baltimore and probably the Ravens coaching staff. This is their franchise quarterback. Is there any one activity that you wouldn't want your franchise player participating in the offseason?
Skiing.
Yep. Yep. I was going to say, speaking of the mountains, Mace, it's skiing, snowboarding.
And this is actually a big deal for the Broncos because you go back to, I believe it was 1995, they used to have a skiing tournament that their players took part in. And Keith Kartz, the starting center at the time, suffered a knee injury that basically derailed his career. Now, it opened up the window for Tom Nalen to become the starter. Oh. And except for time missed for injuries, he didn't give up that job for 12 seasons. But that event, basically, it became an alumni event not long after that, and then it kind of faded away. You remember John Lynch telling the story about how he would see Pat Bowlen when he played for the Bucks, and he was up there skiing. And then when he signs with the Broncos, there's the rider in the contract that says, you can't go skiing anymore.
Exactly. And the Chiefs ban Mahomes from playing pickup basketball a year or two ago?
Yeah, and we know about pickup basketball because, like, Ryan Clady, for example,
exactly,
suffered an injury playing pickup. Although, remarkably, that was in 2010, remarkably, he managed to come back and play that year. That was Mountain High Appliances, just in case you missed it. If you want to try before you buy on appliances, check out Mountain High Appliance. Now, they've got a robust website, mountainhighappliance.com, and you can go through and go through their inventory and see what they've got. Of course, if you want to check out Mountain High Appliance in person, they've got locations up and down the Front Range. They've got the Clearance Center in Denver. They've got a location in Louisville and Littleton. And if you get outside the area as well, they got a location down in Colorado Springs off Academy Boulevard, and also up in Glenwood Springs that is open Monday through Friday. So check out mountainhighappliance.com. Coming up on the other side, believe it or not, somebody considers the Broncos overrated. Coming off a 5-11 overrated, is that possible? We'll tell you how that could be possible on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Eric Goodman on assignment. Zach Stevens of DNVR, thednvr.com. In for Eric Goodman. I'm Andrew Mason. Watch this course on, MileHighSports.com and, of course, on the radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM. Shake it all the time. Work, 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 Sinora. Work your body line. Work,